Looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and particularly verses 5, 6, and 7 this morning. We're looking at these verses because we're looking at this New Testament letter of 1 Thessalonians and going through it section by section. In verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." In many popular books and on the TV these days, we encounter the charge that the church has pulled off a hoax. The contention is that the Emperor Constantine created the Christian faith as we now know it, suppressed documents that he didn't agree with, elevated Jesus to the status of God, and hid various facts, like the facts that are being claimed these days that Jesus was married, had descendants that were living at the time of Constantine. Now, if you do any checking of the facts, as we see them revealed in the Bible, and also as we've seen them revealed down through the years in church history, the books of the Bible actually were recognized as they are now by the time of Constantine. There were additional gospels that were not hidden. They were rejected as forgeries. They were propaganda from a group known as the Gnostics. And as regards the godness of Jesus, Jesus made claims for himself. The earliest verses of the earliest Gospels. "I and the Father are one," said Jesus. And as time goes on, we find archaeology uncovers copies of the Gospels that predated Constantine by decades. And the idea of Jesus being married is flatly contradicted in the Bible, and there's no real evidence to support it. But we see this trend towards creative so-called truth-telling. And of course, with the internet now as well, people can plant falsehoods and distortions anytime they want and can make those rumors spread all over the world. Well, in our text this morning, as we turn to the reliability and the authority of God's word in the Bible, we find that Paul is facing off those who are trying to distort the truth about him. And from the first verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see that people were saying that Paul and his fellow missionaries were scammers. They were hoax builders and unsuccessful in their work. And Paul addresses those claims made against him, not so much because of their impact upon himself, but more because of the impact on the credibility of his message and his ministry and his witness. So as we read what Paul says in the verses we're looking at this morning, not only are they words as a defense of Paul's ministry, but they're more to help us see the reliability of his message and help us as we seek to be faithful in our witness today to the reliability of the message God has entrusted to us in his holy word. The first thing we see in the verses that we're looking at is what we might call tough love. Tough love. Verse 5. "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know." Now, what is flattery? Flattery is saying things about people that are not true. Flattery is insincere praise. Flattery encourages perhaps good things in a person, but suppresses any wrong things. So flattery doesn't really have the good of the person being addressed at heart. In a way, flattery is self-love. You want something from someone, and so you flatter them. in order to get it. You don't tell the truth. In Proverbs 7, the person who seduces, the woman here, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield with her flattering lips. She seduced him. Flattery deludes and deceives and destroys. Or again in the book of Proverbs, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You see, for our witness, we flatter people in our society. We never enable a person to see him or herself as they truly are, a sinful person in need before a holy God. And the result of that will be a person will never see the need of a saviour. And even between Christians, never challenging and encouraging and helping and exhorting one another to see areas of need that need to be fortified by the grace of God. In the spiritual realm, flattery, it feeds the pride of the human heart. In Isaiah 30, verse 10, the people said to Isaiah, "Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." They said to Isaiah, "We don't want to hear searching truth. Use words to butter us up. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us that things are not so bad. Don't point out any problems to us. Don't tell us about God's judgment. Don't talk to us about wrath. Don't talk to us about the need of repentance. Don't talk to us about our sins. Speak to us smooth things," they said. "Tell us nice things. Flatter us." Now there's the pride, there's the sinfulness of the human heart. So in the spiritual realm, flattery feeds lies that feed the pride of the human heart. You know this morning that the Word of God, as it comes to us in its cutting edge, by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, shows us that the eternal God and the Lord Jesus Christ, not just some puppet at the end of our string, but the mighty Saviour from heaven, who are sinful men and women we desperately need. But flattery fails to apply the truth in a searching way. I was reading a little this last week about the seeker-sensitive church. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. The church needs to be friendly, and certainly as Christ followers, reaching out to others, being friendly, being kind, should be a priority. We want the Church of Jesus Christ to be a welcoming place to anyone who comes. But for some people, seeker-sensitive can mean this. We're living in a consumer environment, it's claimed. So we want to create an environment where the consumer will matter and come in. If we can make people, the consumer, comfortable and happy, then they'll stay. So don't speak about the sinfulness of human beings. Don't speak about the fallenness of the human condition. Don't speak about the need for repentance and the Saviour. And in that case, what happens? The seeker-sensitive church becomes a church that flatters. "For neither at any time," says Paul, "did we use flattering words, as you know." And there are times, we are aware, when the Word of God cuts into a person's conscience. But Paul didn't want the praise and the acceptance and the adulation of the Thessalonians. His concern was to tell the truth as it is in Jesus. So Paul wasn't thinking, "How can I get them to like me? How can I get from them what I want?" How can I speak to them smooth things that they like? His concern was to tell them the truth. The truth, even if it tore their hearts up, even if it brought a sting to the conscience, even if the truth was like a barb that went into the heart. Because as that truth came to men and women, they saw their need for cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there was a radical heart turning from sin to the Saviour. So Paul's love was a tough love. Neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know. Secondly, it was a selfless love. Nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. What is covetousness? Covetousness is similar to greed. It's a sinful grasping after things. When I think of covetousness, sometimes I think of peanuts, which you might think is a bit of a strange connection, peanuts. But I've got this big problem. If you put a bowl of peanuts in front of me and I take one peanut from the bowl, I will just want another one. I will want more and more and more. I just love peanuts. Now, that's got its own problems, wanting more peanuts. But covetousness is like that in the heart, always wanting not just peanuts, but more, more, more of everything. Bigger, better, the best, more, more, more. Now, Paul says, as he worked and ministered amongst the Thessalonians, his words were not a cloak, this idea of hiding something, the cloak, as I spoke about that illustration to the boys and girls of the cloaking device on Star Trek. It hides something. Paul didn't use a cloak for covetousness. I don't know if you've noticed, but men and women will sometimes boast about all sorts of sins. Men will sometimes boast about their sexual escapades. Or people will brag about drunkenness. Oh, it was a great party. I remember speaking to some students in Sheffield about a round of golf, they told me, that they were embarking on, a round of golf. And it was late at night. I thought, what are they talking about, a round of golf? And they were going to go around 18 pubs in Sheffield. And the person who could drink alcohol the quickest in each pub would be the one who'd win the round of golf in that pub. And they were going to go to 18 places. The round of golf was a boast, really, about drunkenness. But you don't hear people really bragging about covetousness so much. I'm a greedy person. Often it's covered, it's cloaked by something else. This deal I pulled off, but it was dishonest. This job I managed to get, but it was a job that someone got because they submitted a false CV application. Covetousness is often cloaked by something else. We call it acumen or ambition or something else. But Paul says to the Thessalonians, his ministry was based on a concern for their soul. His concern was not a cloak covering up something else. There was no cloak for covetousness, no cloak for greed. So Paul says, God is witness. The Thessalonians couldn't read Paul's heart. They could tell if he tried to flatter them with his words. But they couldn't really tell the true motives of his heart. There's only one person this morning who can really see your heart. God is witness. God is witness. Now, our society says, oh, every man has his price. In the Bible, you have the story of Balaam, the false prophet, who wanted to curse the children of Israel, but ended up blessing them. But Balaam, the false prophet, who for covetousness, from what he could get from the king, Balak, he was bought for a price. And through the introduction of prostitution and idolatry, he gave advice to a foreign king that was used to lead the children of Israel astray. Jude comments on what Balaam did. Woe to them, they've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Shape the message for the money you can get. Tamper with the message of the Bible for the money you can get. Distort the message of the Bible for the money you can get. It's a big problem in our society and in many countries in the world this morning. People who are shaping the message of the Bible for covetousness, for greed. Paul says his ministry, as you know, he says, not a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. His love was a tough love. His love was a selfless love. Thirdly, his love was what we could call a self-effacing love. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. We didn't come, says Paul, looking for the applause of men and women. We didn't come looking for praise, esteem, plaudits. When we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. We could have made certain demands, says Paul. We were commissioned representatives of Jesus Christ. We came to you with apostolic authority. And therefore we could have had apostolic privileges. But Paul, as it were, bent over backwards to make it obvious that he wasn't seeking human applause. We didn't come, he says, to parade our gifts. We didn't come looking for applause. We didn't need to use flattering words, verse 5. And we didn't come looking for human applause, verse 6. In other words, there was a biblical consistency. So that the basic principles of his ministry were the same wherever he went. Wherever Paul went, whoever he ministered to, there were certain principles about the way he worked that were the same. Why? Because the God who had called and commissioned him does not change. The gospel entrusted to the Apostle Paul does not change. The motives that were driving him on did not change. And so the methods he basically used were the same, because the essential need of men and women did not change. So there's this biblical consistency this morning. Here we are 2,000 years later. God has not changed. God is still the God who is holy and righteous and just. He is still the God who searches the heart. But he's also the God who is gracious and loving and merciful. And 2,000 years later, the gospel has not changed. As we think of the three R's of the gospel, man's ruin by the fall, here we are still 2,000 years later, people looking this direction and that direction for the answers to the problems of the human heart, and the Bible's answer and the Bible's diagnosis is the same. As a result of the fall, there is a tendency in every human heart towards rebellion against God. And we're in desperate need of a Savior. So man is ruined by the fall, but there is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. That by the work of God in your heart this morning, you can have a new life from God, which is yours by faith in Jesus Christ, and redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is a way for sins to be dealt with, And the most fundamental need of the human heart is to know forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness before a holy God. So the gospel has not changed. Christ died for our sins. So it's still through the foolishness of that message preached that the essential need of men and women is addressed, who through repentance and faith can come into a new living relationship with before a holy God. So you see this morning, what kept Paul from flattery, covetousness, conceit? In flattery, you want the acceptance of the person that you flatter. With covetousness, with greed, you want money from another person. With conceit, you want the praise of another person. And the focus of the three of those things is the same. The focus is self, self, self. I want the acceptance of someone. Flatter them. Self. I want money from someone. Covetousness. The focus is self. I want the praise of someone. I want someone to say, well done. The focus is self. What was the Apostle Paul's focus? Verse 2, you see here, he writes, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. In verse 4, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Verse 5, God is witness. So flattery, covetousness, conceit, the focus is self, self, self. Paul's focus, approved by God. Bold in God. God is witness. Paul's focus is God, God, God. Now it seems to me there's the stark contrast for us this morning. So to ask, what is the focus of your life? And what is the focus for your witness? What will keep you on this biblical path? If your focus is self, 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 well, in your witness, you'll go astray. And in your life, you're on a path that leads to destruction. Here's Paul's focus. Here's the focus for us this morning, to turn afresh to God in repentance, in faith, to say, Lord, make the focus of my life, make the focus of my witness, as Paul's was, God. God, God. We read from Psalm 16 this morning, where the psalmist says this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You see, our society is pushing us in a way towards a focus which says, focus on yourself and what you can get. Make your life have that focus. The psalmist says, my life is so focused on God that God overrides every other consideration. I have set the Lord not sometimes before me. I've set the Lord before me for a few hours on a Sunday. I have set the Lord always before me, says the psalmist. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So in your own heart this morning, in your family life, in school or college or university life, with work colleagues, whatever the scenario is, the focus, not self, 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 but this focus, God, God, God. What pleases God? So when the moment of pressure comes, when you think of a moment, I could have taken that opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to try and look this coming Thursday at about this very tricky, difficult issue that is starting to arise in our society, this issue of sex and gender, and what does the Bible say about it? Now, I'm sure as that issue becomes more and more prominent in our society, you will face situations as a Christian where there will be an opportunity to speak a word for Jesus Christ in the midst of what may well be a difficult setting. We faced the same issue, didn't we, as regards the whole debate about same-sex marriage? Or if people speak about the mess the world is in, the growth of this so-called Islamic State and what is happening in the world, what a mess. Or even if you've been in a church service on a Sunday evening and someone asks you, what were you doing last night? All sorts of opportunities arise to speak a word for Jesus Christ. If you say grace before a meal in some sort of public setting, if you don't laugh at the dirty joke that someone tries to crack, or you're just speaking with your next door neighbor. And all of us can think of situations where an opportunity arose and you think, I missed that opportunity. And sometimes the reason the opportunity is missed is because the focus is on self. What would that person say? What would that person think of me? I wanted their acceptance. I wanted their approval. I wanted their praise. And so I'll just stay silent. I won't say anything. So you see why this, what we're looking at this morning then, comes to us as a word of challenge and rebuke, as well as encouragement. Get the focus of your life right, the Bible is saying. Yes, that will happen if the focus is self, self, self. But if the focus is God, 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 then by the grace of God, even though it can be sometimes with a poor, lisping, stammering tongue, as the hymn writer says, but sometimes the poor, lisping, stammering tongue can say a word for Jesus Christ. To turn from this focus of self, 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 to turn to this focus that God gives here, God, God, God. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict, he says. We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. God is our witness. So the result in Paul's life, tough love. Neither at any time did we use flattering words. This selfless love, not a cloak for covetousness. And this self-effacing love, Paul was not out to draw applause for himself. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Get the focus right and turn from a focus of self, 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 to this focus of God, God, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning for the way that your word brings us this right challenge. Forgive us, Lord, that so often, bowing to the pressures of our society, we make self the focus. We pray that you will help us this morning to get this right focus in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, 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 the focus. We thank you, Lord, and when we do that, we find that We're kept from the temptations to use flattery or greed, covetousness or self-praise. Keep us firm on the rock this morning, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him, our precious, our gracious, our mighty Saviour. Standing on the rock, Jesus Christ, all other ground is sinking sand. So make the focus of our life God, God, God. God, we cry to you this morning. Hear us, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn this morning, 263. In this hymn, Isaac Watts says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God." Making God the focus. All the vain things that charm me most. The vain things of this world, things we've been thinking about, flattery, covetousness, self-praise, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. 263, when I survey the wondrous cross. Let's pray then. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.